Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Hello and good afternoon. Welcome to the Coco Express Show Network for Saturday, December 14, 2013. I'm not going to be saying that too much longer. We got, what, 3 more weeks before we have a whole new year to address the same thing or many different things. However, today's show, we're going to address, well, first I want to address the weather. For some of you, you're experiencing some severe weather, some winter weather, and I hope that you are indoors, safe, and dry, because it's wintertime and you don't know what to expect. And for some of us, we experienced that last week, and hopefully we won't have to deal with it again. So I want to get that out of the way. I also want to give a shout out to a few people. My daughter experienced her birthday on Tuesday, as well as my niece had a birthday, and I am surrounded by nothing but December babies, and it's a beautiful thing because they're wonderful, amazing people. So with that said, happy belated birthday to each and every one of you. I did speak to you on that day. However, I just want to make sure you know that I love you all dearly. And now, today's show. Today's show is a special show because it seems to be a family affair. We have had in the past Queen Afua, as well as Supernova Slam, and they embrace a different kind of lifestyle. Queen Afua has the Queen Afua Wellness Center in Brooklyn, New York, and she's into natural healing, holistic health and wellness, mind, body, and soul. And her son, Supernova Slam, is also into healthy eating and holistic wellness and health, mind, body, and soul. And another part of that particular equation is the other son and brother to them, and that is Ali Turan. Ali Turan is an amazing individual. He is a chef as well as a mastermind business person. He has been the vice president of the Queen Afua Wellness Center. However, prior to that, he is or has been a graduate of Howard University, one of the most prestigious HBCUs in the country. And he has taken his approach to health and wellness through food to a level that some of you probably won't even understand. And he's going to be with us, and he is with us rather today, to help us understand the difference between being a vegetarian and a vegan and that type of lifestyle and how it relates to how we are and who we are and what we do and how we do. Maybe he'll be kind enough to share some easy recipes that we could put together and discuss some of his other business enterprises that he's been at the helm of through the Queen Afua Wellness Center. I would like to take this opportunity to bring to you Ali Turan.
Yes. Greetings.
Hello.
Yes. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and I'm honored to have you.
Well, it's an honor to be on your show. We're so excited to be here. I'm Ali, the chef, also known as Ali the Great. I'm one of the members of the First Family of Holistic Living, and I'm here today to represent the family and to speak and bring wellness to the people, and I'm here. So I'm definitely ready to begin educating and updating people on how to live this holistic lifestyle that I've been living for the past 31 years.
That's a long time. 31 years is a long, long time to embrace this type of lifestyle. I have to be honest with you, I'm good, but then I fall off. And
I'm listening.
And then getting back on track and getting back on the wagon is always hard.
You know what? You're right. Even though I've been on my journey for my whole life, I was born and raised vegan, a lot of our clients, a lot of our customers and clients that come to see us at our center, a lot of them are like yourself, who are starting to stop, you'll try it and it fall off. A lot of times eating healthy and transitioning your diet, you've been born and raised and you've been eating a certain way for your whole life. And food is attached to emotion. Food is attached to, it reminds you of family. It reminds you of experiences you've gone through in the past. So sometimes when you let go of certain habits or certain meats and you're now going vegan or vegetarian, sometimes people go backwards because it's certain foods. It could be ice cream. It could be certain chicken. It could be the smell that reminds you of family, reminds you of friends, reminds you of experiences, loved ones that passed away. So sometimes we go backwards, not just because of the health component, but because of the emotional attachment. You understand? So we understand that it is a lifestyle holistically. It's not about just the diet cleanse. It's not about just the season. It's not about, it's making sure, how do I make this my lifestyle for the rest of my day?
Okay. Now, let's start from the beginning, okay? Most of us, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us didn't have the opportunity to be raised in the environment that you were. And most of us start off with a basic understanding of what it's like to eat healthy. Now, tell us the different transitions. You have the vegan and the vegetarian and what are and whatever's in between. What's the difference between each?
I would definitely break it down. I will start from the beginning. In our system, in our book that we wrote, our third book, The City of Wellness, Restoring Your Health Through the Seven Senses of Consciousness by Queen Afua, Queen has broken down different frequencies and different levels to food. Some of the people that are transitioning, that we say if you're starting and you're trying to go from one level to another level, the average person is not going to give up all their meat. So we call that person a flexitarian. That is a person that's looking to not necessarily give up the meat, but they're looking to let go of the worst of meat, such as your beef and pork. Let me just start. I'm going to let go of that meat, and I'm going to start more of my chicken and fish. It's healthier for me. We call that a flexitarian. They're going to have more fruits and vegetables in their diet, incorporate the grains, and they're going to get rid of the worst of meats. And they're open to having the tofu transitional meats or the more vegetables and more vegetable juices in their diet. Then you have a vegetarian. It's a person that has actually given up the meat. And a vegetarian, there's different levels of vegetarian. You have octotarian. You got those that we call saltotarians. Those are people that are on the borderline. They're not eating meat, but they might be doing dairy, okay? And so that's like a transitional vegetarian. A vegan is a person that doesn't do no dairy, okay, that doesn't do no meat at all, and they're mainly focused on fruits and vegetables, different grains, different fruits and vegetable juices and things along those lines into their diet. And so then from there you have a person that's going to do more raw food, live food. That is a person that says, I'm not going to eat nothing cooked. Everything's going to be live, freshly prepped, and no cooking, no adding heat to the food so that it can kick all this nutrients and nutrition. And then you have those that go even higher, and they say, I'm going to be a juicetarian. That is a person that is going to just focus more on their juices and their liquids and their teas, et cetera. And so one has to pick a level that's more comfortable to them. For example, my grandmother, who's actually turning 90 tomorrow. She's turning 90, and we're having a celebration for her. About 10 years ago, she never was going to give up on meat, but she decided to be a vegetarian. She no longer eats a beef and pork, but she does chicken and fish, and she does a lot of vegetables, and she takes one of our formulas, the Green Life Formula, which has spirulina and wheatgrass in it, and she takes that every day. She works out, lives a healthy life at her church, and so she decided to be a vegetarian, whereas myself, I'm all-out vegan. So we have these different people on different levels. Our goal is to customize our plan and see how we can customize so we can make them comfortable. We don't want them to fall off. We want them to be realistic and not just do it because it's popular culture, not just do it because they see ads on TV, and not just do it because people are telling them to do it, but they do it and they're educated on the best way to do it that accomplish their lifestyle.
Okay. Now, okay, you talk about, you know, giving up the fish, or giving up the pork and the beef. That's something that I know that I just don't do at all, haven't done for a long, long time. Now, the thing I think that most of us are kind of stuck on is sugar. What are ways that we can get rid of the sugar, and what are substitutes that we could use? Because, I mean, I had your brother on the show, and he explained what sugar is like to our systems. So how do we eliminate that and eliminate the cravings for it?
The bottom line is we all grew up on sugar on some level. It's on our TV commercials and our ads. We've seen it daily. And even eating vegan, there are a lot of sweet natural alternatives they're putting even vegan foods into the snacks and cookies and things like that. So what we want to do begin to cut back on the extra sweet. You want to take bitter. You want to incorporate bitters in your diet. You have to first recognize that, you know what, I love my sugar. I love my cookies. I love my ice cream. I just love it. And so once you recognize that, then you can start the journey of beginning to let some of those things go and understanding, okay, I want to take the steps to, now I'm not eliminated, but I'm going to cut back. And I'm gonna treat myself to have my cookies, either natural cookies or regular cookies and ice cream, but let me start the process by understanding I need to have bitters in my diet. Bitters can come in the form of having a lot of greens, salads, certain teas. One of our formulas is a master herbal, and we have 13 different herbs in it, and that helps to cut back on the cravings. So you can use our formula, or you can use any natural tea out there that's a bitter tea. The bitters helps to reestablish the blood, cleans out the blood, and when you clean out the old blood and the sugars and the salts in your body, you're not going to crave it as much. So the more bitters you take, the more water you drink, the more fruit and vegetables, the more vegetable juice you take in your diet, the more you're not going to crave it. The less of, when less teas you do, less bitters you do, less vegetable juice you do, the more you're going to crave it. So it's a craving, and that's okay. You got to recognize you have a craving and say, you know what, I'm willing to start the process and journey to work towards breaking my addiction. It's a form of addiction, and it's okay to be addicted, but you got to start somewhere.
Okay. I'm with that, because I have to be honest. There's no other way to be. But I did well. I really did well. I went through the remedy process and everything, the 5-day cleanse, and stuck with it for really, I say, a good 3 months. And then I had a chocolate chip cookie, and that was all she wrote.
Remind me of the episode of Martin. Episode of Martin where he became a workout junkie, and then all of a sudden Gina was trying to get him back, and she had all this food for him that he used to have, and he was eating his celery and rice cakes, and then he couldn't hold it any further, and he broke his addiction. You're right. That is the average person. We're going for a season. We're going because it's somebody invited us to a class, popular culture. You want to try something new, and then we're doing it hard body, hard core, then we fall off. Same thing happens with working out. Same thing happens with diets. When you understand, you know what, what's realistic to me, let me be educated and understand, you know what, it's okay if I'm eating certain things, but I'm willing and open to incorporating new things in my diet. So, for example, not working out because the season's coming, working out because you're only seeing it for the rest of your life. Not just doing teas or water because it's seasonal or because of the cleanse, doing it for the rest of your life. Understanding that, you know what, realistically, I'm willing to let go of my beef and pork. And I'm going to just do my chicken and fish, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to begin to incorporate more fruits and vegetables, more water. I'm going to begin to cut back on my sugar. I'm going to treat myself once in a blue moon. When you create realistic goals for yourself, beloved, it's not going to be just a seasonal. It's not going to be the new hot cleanse on the marketplace. It becomes a lifestyle. And our clients and customers that come to us, we teach them lifestyle. When they buy our products, we have a training every Thursday that guides them. So then it's not grabbing the green formula on the shelf and they got to figure it out, because we believe in education and training the people so that they have long-term results, not just for the season, not just for 21 days.
Okay. Now, I have the book, The Remedy, and I went through it, and some of your recipes are in the book. And I did use a few of them, and I have to say I was thoroughly, thoroughly pleased with the outcome. I didn't know that I could enjoy food that much that didn't have all the things that I was so used to having in it. How do you create recipes for people like myself who are so used to some traditional types of foods who want to make that change? What do you do, and how do you kind of create the different things that will help them make that transition and make it taste so good?
That's a very good question, because the key thing in food is season and making sure you hook it up. Because the bottom line, this sounds all good, and Allie's saying a lot about the transitional and how do I begin, but the bottom line is it's going to taste good, Allie, okay? When it gets down to the get-go, when I go shop and I have it, and I cut the lettuce, but I don't see it. I see the lettuce on my table, and I have the seasonings, but I don't know how to put it all together. So we definitely teach them how to pull it together. Let me just give you a quick recipe for those that are listening today of what they can do on the most basic level. I'm going to give you a basic salad first, then I'm going to give you a basic protein you can do. Okay? Now, these recipes are in our books, The City of Wellness, Restoring You Up to the Symptoms of Consciousness. It's also in The Remedy. We have a variety of different recipes. I'm just going to pull something together. Right? It's funny, because right now I'm at the gym. I'm taking a break. I have a student that I just finished training, and so I'm taking a break. I don't have my books on me, but I want them to know that they can get all the things that I'm saying in these books. Let me give you a basic recipe that one can do. Take a start on the basic salad to make the salad taste good. I work with a lot of kale, because kale is a very strong grain to use in traditional forms of lettuce. Lettuce is good too, romaine and green leaf, but it's very soft. And when you add seasoning to it and let it in oil, it wilts and it gets very soggy, especially if you try it for another day. So I'll take a nice head of kale. When you go shopping today, go to the supermarket while it's snowing. Before the snow comes down further, go get some kale. I want you to go pick up an avocado. I want you to pick up, if you can either use a cucumber or mushroom, okay, or some tomato. But let's just start with some basic kale and avocado, and let's do a basic cucumber, okay? I want you to pick up while you're shopping, make sure you have some olive oil. I want you to pick up some lemon. Now, you're going to take that home. You're going to wash that kale, cut that head of kale. It's going to be a nice big bowl of kale. Cut it up. You're going to chop that avocado, and you're going to cube it. You're going to mix the avocado into the kale salad. You're going to then cut the cucumber that you picked up, one whole cucumber. You're going to add to that, okay, we're going to do some basic, just three ingredients. We're going to add to that about a cup of olive oil, a half a cup to a cup. The olive oil is very good for cleaning out the colon. It's where we don't do the corn oil. We don't do that. We do olive oil, or we can do coconut oil. A lot of people don't have no more coconut oil now. And that's in grapeseed oil. That's because of lubricating the colon and helping to eliminate a lot of blockage in the colon. So we're going to mix that oil into the salad. We're going to mix some sea salt versus regular salt. Sea salt is more healthier for the body, for those that are dealing with the salt. Okay, so have more healthier return. So you can have Himalayan salt or sea salt. We're going to then add about a teaspoon to a table based on the amount. But let's just say a teaspoon, not too much salt, okay? We're going to do about a teaspoon to a table of powdered garlic. We're going to add some paprika, a teaspoon to a table based on the amount you want to use. We're going to add some parsley. We're going to add some chili pepper. We're going to add some basil. All these are all your dry seeds that are typically in our cabinet. I want you to mix that now together in the salad. And now, what's going to bond the dressings, what's going to bond the seasonings together is how you mix it. So you're going to keep mixing as you add the oil, as you add the seasoning that I just went through. You keep stirring, you keep mixing it. And what you're going to notice is that the kale and the avocado, it gives it a nice creaminess. And it merges the oil with the seasonings together. Okay? And then, once you're done with that, try a bite of that. And now you have a nice avocado kale salad with some cucumber. You can also try your fresh tomato in that salad. You can try some sprouts. You can try whatever vegetables you like. But the foundation is going to be avocado and your kale. That's a basic salad. And it's all about the seasoning.
And it sounds good.
I can share a protein, but that's I'm just going to give you a start with that. And I have to share later on in the interview a protein. But that's a good starter. All of what I'm saying is in our books, and you can definitely further reference it to get started on their wellness journey.
Okay, now, when did you begin learning to prepare these types of meals? At what age did you start your training?
Queen has been making, obviously, preparing food for us as we were children, but I started to at age 12, 13. My mother became so busy with the company that I started making food for myself because she was so busy. Anyway, I wasn't mad at her that she was so busy, and I started to love cooking, you know, and then I'll make food for her when she's done after a long day. And then my other aunt, who was a chef, she inspired me to get into the food, Earth Cooker Wahida. And then when I was about 17, I started a youth program. And I also trained with Reed, he's a live food chef. I worked with him during that time as well. So when I started my youth program at about age 17, and I worked with Reed and my aunt. Those are two of my teachers that helped me get started fully in the food. And then I had youth that I was working with, so then that further encouraged me to further teach them about the food. So at about 17, it's when I really started making it into a career. And as I went to college, I started making food for different festivals and events. I started having cooking classes at 22, 23. I started preparing food for different celebrities that would come to our institute, would work with Queen and my family, such as Erykah Badu, I made food for, and Common, and NDRE at a festival. And they loved the food. So that's what really got me further into doing the food. As I started making and preparing it, the people started receiving and loving it, and I went deeper and deeper.
Oh, great. That's amazing, and that's excellent. Now, in addition to you doing your chef duties and being a master chef, so to speak, you are also the vice president of the Queen of Food Wellness Center. Now, what duties are involved with that? Because that's a pretty heavy title.
It was a heavy load. It was definitely a heavy load. I started working in the company at 23 upon graduating from Howard University. About 8 years ago, it'll be 9 years next year. And it was something that my sister worked with my mother for about a year. She's also a graduate of Howard University. I come up to be in business management. And so six months before I decided to work in the company, my sister said to me, Mom needs you in the company. When you graduate, I need you to work in the family business. I said, okay. I was looking to have a career in hospitality field, hotels, restaurants. But I said, okay, that's what I got to do. That's my duties. So upon graduating, I started my first year in 2005. And I had to learn a lot. It was a lot. I was thrown into the fire, but I learned. I had to work with the staff that was currently there. I had to figure out how to work with my mother in business on that level, in leadership. and I learned a lot of lessons. And I did different things. We did different campaigns. I was responsible in 8 years for helping to set up a deal with my brother for getting his book deal with Remedy, as well as working with when he worked with Bill Cosby and the Cosby Writing Project, as well as just some of the things he did musically as well. I also was responsible for helping my mother rebrand her products and create and bring up to date with the new label, help to take the brand international, help to do the social media atmosphere for both my brother and my mother. So it's, I was able to take popular culture and see what was going on and to upgrade and make sure that the family business was accurate and current so that we don't get most of the shuffle and we can bring this wellness to the next generation.
And it appears that the wellness, the ideal of wellness and the catchword of holistic wellness, holistic healing, and eating healthy is like one of the most popular things right now, because according to the news feeds, Jay-Z and Beyonce are going to do a 22-day cleanse, and they're going to go vegan for 22 days. Now, how do you think that, what effect that would have on the community at large?
Well, they're game changers. They're popular culture. They're icons. People globally look at them. They're entertainment unifies people. Entertainment, Nelson Mandela, the great Nelson, honorable elder ancestor now, Nelson Mandela, he stated how sports can unify a country. Sports, entertainment, when people perform, people make you happy because you're working your day-to-day 9-to-5 job and you get depressed and saddened. So you watch sports, you watch performances, it puts you into that world. So Jay-Z and Beyonce being icons of their level and the level of success they've had, anything that they decide to do, people are going to follow them. Now, them deciding to go vegan, it's definitely going to be, it's going to bring more light to the industry. The industry started booming even before they made the announcement. A lot of celebrities, for Russell Simmons, and we have so many, KRS One, there's so many Prince. I was doing one point, Michael Jackson, one point was transitioning, eating both vegan and vegetarian. So a lot of icons over time were living the lifestyle vegan. But now it's even more powerful because everywhere you turn, there are juice bars everywhere. There are Whole Foods, there are Trader Joe's. At a supermarket now, you can get vegan food in a supermarket. So Jay-Z and Beyonce's influence is definitely going to be a game changer for our, for the especially our generation. And as a result, for our families, we've been doing it for over 40 years, there brings more light to it because growing up for me, it was not always easy. I had to fight my way through school. I used to make fun of me as a child growing up. I used to call me Carrot Boy and Veggie Boy, and I had to find my way through school because it was not popular. Okay, now my niece, okay, she's going to school and she got a few vegan friends. For me, I was the only vegan child in class, or probably the only one in school. So it was very difficult. We didn't have health stores everywhere. There was no Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, so it was really difficult to maintain the lifestyle. Okay, so now it's become popular culture. We've been doing it for so long. So now for us, we have to, now it's time for us to benefit and educate people because we've been doing it so long. We're not just doing it for the past 5-10 years because of our legacy and our books we've written. A lot of people now are even asking us questions and more inspired now to want to work with us further. So we definitely give thanks for what they're doing, and I salute them for their efforts.
Okay. Now, what do you think is the most biggest mistake people make when they're trying to make that transition? I know that when I spoke with Supernova, he said that people become starchitarians thinking that they're eating healthy. Is that one of the biggest mistakes that we make?
Yeah, that is because once you become vegan, you start eating, you let go of the meat, so you start eating a lot of starches. You start doing a lot of rices, and you start doing a lot of vegan cookies and vegan natural meats, and everything is very heavy. And not understanding that you still have to do your liquids, you still have to do your water, you still have to. So a lot of people don't understand the. They go to one extreme to another extreme. They'll give it all the meats, but now they start eating everything starch, extra potatoes and excess chips, and all natural, but it's still starchy. So it's still knowing the balance, even if you're going to go vegan. Still making sure you have your greens, making sure you have your fruit and vegetable juices, making sure you have your teas, working out. It's a full lifestyle. And so when people come extreme, as our goal, as an institute, as a family, to teach them. So myself and Supernova, we are second-generation healers and entrepreneurs, and we are working with Queen as the first family of holistic living, unifying and teaching families how to really raise their kids vegan, how to transition, and really teach them, educate them so that they're not out here trying to figure out by themselves.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned that, raising your kids vegan. Now, how do you start your children off to that kind of lifestyle? Because, as you know, when kids are young, once they taste something, it becomes a part of their memory bank, so to speak. And it's interesting that if you start them at an early age with it, they won't transition to the sugar stuff unless they want to. So I guess my question is kind of twofold. Would you say that starting kids in the womb would be the best place to start them eating holistically and healthy? And if you do make the transition, will it be difficult to make the transition when the kid is like 5 or 6 years old?
I totally agree about starting in the womb. That's the foundation, because then you have done your part to implant in the embryo, in the seed, that process. Now, you're going up against a lot of times against family. You're going up against society. So although, even though BJ and Beyonce are now all going to try to experiment of 21 days and those who have worldwide, we're all going to follow them, the key thing is this. As much success we've had on the holistic level in this industry, there are still a lot of our families that are still not catching on. And so we have to salute the success, but also want to do what we're up against. So if the child is at that age where the family is having to share their child with the family, a lot of times it's because you're doing with the family, really, a lot of times. And when the child goes to visit aunts, uncles, if you're breaking up with your mate and you're going to see the father or mother, what's the lifestyle of the parents? What's the lifestyle of the ex-mate? What's the lifestyle of the aunts, grandmothers? That's a lot of challenge a lot of times. So if your whole surrounding community was all vegan, it's different. But when you have to go up against society, that's when it becomes a challenge. So for the most part, the more the parent understands the science of how to, from those early ages, they have to keep doing the foods and implant in them. But when they go to school, but again, like I said, in this day and time, my beloved, it's more acceptable now, okay? So we have more support networks around it like we didn't have when I was growing up. So we have to know now how to tap into those networks. Myself and Supernova, we're helping people to transition in. There are a lot of sites and a lot of circles of communities now. In this day and time, there are a lot of farmers markets. There are a lot of food co-op communities. There are a lot of holistic communities that parents can now be connected to, so that they're out here trying to figure out themselves. And that's the beauty. Because a lot of times the family, the bloodline, ain't going to receive it. So you're going to have other family, other people that might be friends or might be associates in your community that might believe in your lifestyle, and that's going to be key for the child. Because if you have to rely on your family supporting it, that's not the reality. So you have to know that, and there's no up again.
Okay. Now let's kick it up a couple of years, okay, and you have your professional, and they're under a lot of stress. What can they do? Because a lot of people eat emotionally. As you said, we are emotional eaters. What can you do to combat the stress and the emotional eating? How do you do that with a holistic, healthy, vegan, vegetarian lifestyle?
A lot of people that are going through stress and are going through the motions of this, in their day-to-day, and they're trying to also maintain this lifestyle. You're right. A lot of us are working 40, 56 hours a week, and we're on the go. That's why right now what's big is grab and go, okay? And people got to, in lunch, they're grabbing food, and right before dinner. So a lot of people ain't cooking like they used to. Okay, both sometimes mother and the father are working. So in this day and time, it is really stressful and very hard and difficult. So what one has to do in order to really begin to care, we call ourselves, we are wellness warriors. I'm a wellness warrior. What that means is that I've been a warrior my whole life on this path of lifestyle. So I understand the science of how to work out, how to live this lifestyle. So one has to understand a warrior mindset. When you play like a warrior, you have to prepare for your day. You have to plot and plan your defeat at the night. Before the next day, your salads, your proteins, your soups, your teas, you have to get a game plan before going. You got to go to work with your sandwich already prepared, your container, your green juice. We teach our clients to take our products. Go to work with your jugs. Bring your travel bag so when it's time to lunchtime, you can grab something here and there. But for the most part, you're going with like back when you was a child, old school lunchbox. But now you have a lunchbox for an adult. So these are some of the things we teach our clients that are going through stress. And understand, when I go home, if I really want to do this, I'm going to prepare at night. Because obviously during the daytime it's not going to happen. Now, sometimes you're going to fall through and you're going to have to grab something on the go. I do something as well. But for the most part, at least you want to try 25 to 50% out of the week, you want to make those attempts. You want to make the attempts when you can do that. Now, on the weekends, if you don't have a lot of time during the weekdays, that's on the weekend. That's your time now to make food for the house and celebrate the fact you survived the week and make time for yourself. So starting small. Starting small. You don't got to go intense mode. You say, okay, this week I have not made not one meal for myself. I'm grabbing. Let me start by doing 2 days this week and making some food. Let me practice making food for myself at night. And then you get a discipline, and you go to 3 days. You understand? So everything we do is transitional. If I'm telling you to give up meat or sugar, you don't just give it all up. No. If you're doing it 5 days or 7 days out of the week, you start saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do 3 days of not doing sugar. This is what I'm going to do 3 days of not doing pork if I'm doing it every day. So whether it's working out, whether it's making the food, whether it's cutting back on certain cravings, it's starting small, and over time, your mind gets used to it, and so does your body. And then that's why you develop that discipline.
Okay. Now, I work with a group of women. Well, I run with a group of women we call Black Girls Run, and they're all over the country. And one of the conversations that we have on a regular basis is about diet. And I would like you to kind of explain, what is it that they could do before they run and after they run to help get the optimal workout, you know, and help their bodies really achieve what it is they want to achieve? A lot of them are stuck at a certain weight, and they don't seem to be able to, you know, shake certain pounds off, or they see their body just standing still. What is it that you can recommend regarding a diet that they could do to enable them to get what they need from their workout and their food?
Excellent question. First of all, I salute you all for doing what y'all do. You said Black Girls Run, that's in the organization?
Yes.
Okay, I think I still remember when I went to
the Yes, you should check it out and look it up.
Black Girls Run?
Yes.
Okay, I saw some of them when I went to Bermuda a year ago. They actually was doing a run in Bermuda, Black Girls Run. I saw a group of them in Bermuda. They were doing a run in Bermuda. Long story short, no, it was a Bermuda Barbados, one of those countries I can't recall right now. But what I'm saying is that in working out, I'm at the gym right now, okay, what you want to begin to do when you're working out, it's about, as we teach, your liquid and solid meals. If one is trying to lose weight, as they're trying to get a healthier body, you have to eat less food in the day and do more liquids. But you start to get your solids in. So minimum, it's all about, also about portion control. So in the morning, you three meals with the fights for the day. You just don't want to do a heavy breakfast. You want to do a small portion. You can do a nice oatmeal in the morning with some fruits, or coming out with some fruits. And then you want to have your liquid meal. Your liquid meal will be your green lactose, one of our formulas, or your green pot that you get from the health store. Okay? That's your liquid meal. Everybody who tries to work out understands they have a liquid meal, like a protein shake. And then lunchtime comes, small lunch with a small portion of your protein, small portion of your starch, and a lot of greens. And then you have your liquid lunch about an hour or two later. Then your dinner, same thing, small portion, and you have another liquid meal. The liquid meal can be your protein shake. And if you understand, I'm not going to have, don't try to do a big plate of food, do a small portion. And if you do that three times a day, with putting your liquids and your water, you'll get further results. What happens is we start, we're doing a lot, but then we're grabbing some here and there. We're not eating disciplined. Sometimes we might miss some meals. Sometimes we might eat too much. We listen to this, we eat a bigger portion. So the body is going through inconsistency. When you discipline your body on small portion control, having the liquids, and then you hit the run, when you're hitting that run, then your body can further maximize it. So you're going to have to put something on your body before you run. And the carbs are really good for running. So you have your oatmeal, your whole wheat pastas, your spelt pastas, your grains. These are all good for burning, for running, okay? But you can't overdo it. So by burning, what burns also is going to be a lot of your greens, a lot of your salads, a lot of your water, a lot of your teas, your vegetable juice. Vegetable juice helps to clean out the blood and create new blood, okay? So understand, I'm going to be running for the rest of my life. I'm not just doing it for the season. So I'm going to just, every season, I'm going to set a goal, and I'm going to monitor myself each week. I'm going to monitor my eating habits for that week and how much weight did I lose. How better do I feel? And that's how you're going to set new goals.
Okay. Now, oftentimes when you do like a lot of readings in some of these books and magazines, they tell you, you know, you like, for example, you have to hydrate yourself after 3 miles. You start to hydrate yourself because when you're doing endurance races and distance runs, half marathons, marathons and stuff like that. Now, what is it that they can do before they begin their run that could help them, as opposed to, because, for example, this morning we had a 6:45 run, and we don't finish until 8 o'clock. What can we do before we go out there and hit the ground running that will help us so that when we're finished, we won't be so depleted?
I would say take your you can take one of our formulas, which is the Green Life, before you get started. You can't have too much water on your stomach when you get running. You can also cramp up. So if you're going to be running at 6:45, you want to obviously get up about an hour before, get dressed. 30 minutes before you even run, drink your liquid to get it in the body. When you're running, you should not eat something too heavy. You have to burn something, so you can do it small, but you can't do it right before you run it. So if you're going to run, you got to have a 15 to 20 minute window of not eating nothing. So if you're getting up at 6:45 run, obviously get up about 5. We dress about 5:30. have even have a small portion of oatmeal to have some carbs in your body, because that's going to give you the energy to complete the run. But then you do it enough time before you begin the run. And then right before your run, not right before, but like about 15 before your run, get some green leafy in your body, because then you're feeding yourself, you're feeding the bones. That's has spirulina. A lot of them have spirulina, wheatgrass, chlorophyll, and some husk. That's good for, and the noblest form has another green tea, has even more greens in it. What happens is you want to feed your bones, you want to feed your lungs, you want to get your body ready. So you got to fuel up, but you don't want to do it right before the run, okay? And then as you, because sometimes cramping is a lot of times it can deter you in your grind. I've done a lot of running too, and I can't do too much water before running, but you definitely want to have your water ready and accessible if need be. Okay, but definitely having a small amount of oatmeal. I do oatmeal daily because oatmeal is a consistent thing that I can do that's easy to make without my fruits in it, okay? And I put a little ginger in it. Ginger is good for circulation. So having a small meal in the morning, a very small portion, having your green powder in the morning, and then now you're filled up. It's about getting you filled up. And after the run is over, you can then have your green life again, okay, your middle greens again, and then you have the next meal followed by your run, because then you have to feed your body back from your run. Now, obviously, if you're trying to lose weight, okay, you're not getting too heavy. So after your run, you can have your liquid meal, wait till lunch to have your next meal. You're not going to eat right after the run because you're not trying to put on back on weight. If you do, for those that are trying to lose weight. For those that are trying to gain weight, it'll be reversed. You're going to eat more meals in a day versus less meals. So if you're trying to put on weight, up to 4 to 5 meals per day if you're trying to put on weight healthy. You just got to increase your meals, and you still have to do your liquid meals as well. But for those that are trying to lose weight, you don't want to eat right after your run. You want to have your protein shake, and then you can wait a little bit, have a fruit, and then at lunchtime, you will have your salad, your protein, and your carb, okay, around lunch. So that's okay. That's the science you want to apply when doing that.
Okay, great, great. That is excellent. Now, you said that you're going to give us a protein shake, a recipe for a protein shake.
Well, it's all depends. I can give a protein shake, or I can do a protein dish. If you want the protein shake, I can give it to you. I know time is running. Was that the protein shake or was that the protein dish?
Whatever's easiest for you, because I know they're on the top of your head and you can ramp them off really quickly.
Okay, let me see if I can run through both real quick. Let me see how fast I can run through it. Let's do a little bit of protein shake since we're on the running component. Some proteins that one can get from the Huffle store that's in the market right now, you have different options. You can get your green-based proteins. You can get your... I'm not into the whey, but for those that are transitioning whey protein, for those that are transitioning and still on their milk, that's a lot that's been on the market now. You can get your soy protein, which also been on the market, or you can do your straight green proteins. We have a green life formula that has natural protein in it, as well as our middle greens. And we're working on right now, Nova's working on myself, we're working on creating a body rock protein formula, because people have been wondering how did Ali put on 30 to 40 pounds of muscle and Nova 50 pounds of muscle, and we did that over the course of 5 years, took some time. We both average 130 pounds. So now we both 170, he's 190, and we've been doing our protein. We will combine. What you can do is you can take our green life formula, order that online, and you can mix that in with your fresh coconut milk, your banana, your strawberry, okay, and you blend that together with a little agave, and you can have a green protein shake. If you want to go a little further of other options in the market, you have hemp you can use. You have soy protein you can use. For those that are flexitarians, you can do whey protein. These are other proteins you can have that's on the marketplace as well. You can work with us and get your protein shake, or you can go when you go to a health store, you can do your basic protein shake. But always add some fresh food in it. Make it fun. It's all about making it fun. Let me close out with a nice protein dish that one can have. I'm into traditional food. I'm into vegan soul food. So I would deal with tofu for those that are transgender that want to have that texture and they're missing the chicken and fish and the beef. I would do a nice barbecue tofu. So what I would do is I would get a block of tofu from the health store. I would take some smoked flour, and I will add in the flour, some fresh garlic, paprika, pea salt, parsley, basil, some cumin, some chili powder. Shake that up with the flour. I will slice the block of tofu. Okay, I will add the tofu into the shake and bake. It's with the flour and the seasoning. In the Ziploc bag, I'll add the tofu into the bag, and I'll shake and bake it old school like you do fish chicken and fish. Put a little olive oil in the pot, on a nice skillet pot for frying. Turn the oven on. So the stove on, and to low flame, let the oil sizzle a little bit. You add your first few slices of the shaken baked tofu onto the pot, okay, and you hear that sizzle. You start getting that smell, it's going to remind you of the chicken and fish like old school like back in the day with your mother, okay? And then you fry on one side, flip the oil, fry on the other side, now your kitchen is smelling good. Both sides are nicely sizzled with the seasoning, nicely crispy, 12 slices of crisp, I'm going to close you up with a nice barbecue sauce and that on top of that. Now, you can eat a tofu like that. You can chop that tofu up, go to your salad, your kale salad that I told you about earlier, or you can do a nice barbecue sauce. Take some tomato sauce, fresh tomato sauce, nothing in it, from the can. You can pick that out, add that to a bowl. Add your fresh, you can add about, you get it, it's about a pound of fresh tomato sauce. You can add about a half a cup of black sugar molasses. You can add a tablespoon of paprika, basil, Italian seasoning, parsley, garlic, a pinch of sea salt. Add some agave, about maybe 2 to 4 tablespoons of agave or cane sugar. These alternatives to sugar. It's a healthy version of having sugar. Mix all that together, add it to a pot for about 20 minutes, cook the tomato sauce together, 20 minutes, turn it off, put that sauce on top of the barbecue tofu, and now you on top of the tofu, now you have barbecue tofu. So, my beloved, that's a basic way to get started living vegan, to get started your wellness journey. Alan, I'm here for you to begin your journey. If they want to follow us and stay connected, they can go to our website at www.queenoffoodwork.com, QUEENAFUA.com. They can also go to www.wellnesssalute, that's the Noah's page, WellnessSalute. Wellness Salute. Now, he's in the military, so he's like, salute. When he went to the military, he was juicing while in the military. He said, I'm not going to stop becoming war. I'm going to find a way to juice. And people in the community, the people that live in that country were bringing fruit and vegetables to Nova, to the army base, so they can juice. And he was bringing juice back to the villages, okay? And he was making juice for his soldiers. And he was making juice for his commanders and his superiors. And so we have footage of that. So he did not stop. He took the principles for 40 years of Muller instilled in us, and he brought it to that environment. When I went to college, I did the same thing. I brought my lifestyle to that environment. You want to bring your lifestyle wherever you go. You don't want to stop it, okay? And so we are here as Wellness Warriors. We're here as the First Family Political Living to help Middle America and the globe live holistically for the rest of their days.
Great. Thank you so much. I know you got to get back to your the person that you're training and everything, and I really appreciate the fact that you took time out of your schedule to be with us. And I'm sure I'm going to have more questions, so I'm going to make my way to Brooklyn to the Wellness Center first and foremost to come and just thank you.
I would love you to come down. We have a healing station set up at Nicholas. You can get our products at 530 Fulton here in Brooklyn, right on Barclays. Not too far from Barclays. It's called Nicholas, right on Fulton. In Rockwell. And also, for those that want to come and get a healing treatment from our center, we have a healing palace wellness center in our brownstone in Brooklyn as well. You can call 718-221-4325, and then you can call in or you go to our website, and we can schedule for an appointment. I would love to give you a complimentary session at our spa, my beloved, and Queen will sit down with you and give you a womb spa and help to heal you and take you to the next level, because you're always giving on the radio, and people are pulling and asking questions, and we want to be able to give to you as well as the family. When you're ready for that, you give us a call, we're going to take care of you.
Okay, well, I will do that, definitely, because I'm in Brooklyn a lot, but I'm going to make it my business to kind of stop by and say hi at least.
Let's do that. I'm looking so forward to it. Any point you want me or Spinogo to come back on the show, it will be an honor for us to come back on the show. And thanks so much for having us.
Oh, thank you. Like I said, it's been an honor and a pleasure, and the information that you have shared with my listeners as well as myself it's invaluable, and it's helped me change lives. And I have to admit, I didn't say it, but when I started doing the remedy initially and I stuck with it, I have lost 15 pounds. I wasn't heavy to begin with. I've lost 15 pounds, and I feel fantastic. So it worked.
Wow. Well, we're here for you, and it's about discipline. And because when you did that you got the black girls run, and you did the remedy, I want to tell your girls when you see them again, at least say, we're wellness warriors. You're going to say, why? Why are we wellness warriors? Because we're disciplined with our run. We're doing black girls that run. We're living the lifestyle. So he said, we are living the wellness warrior lifestyle, okay? Let them know they're already wellness warriors. They're living the wellness warrior lifestyle, but they have to maintain. In order to take your status, you have to be on it, okay? Let them know, Alice, we have to be on it. We got to get our greens. We got to go to Queen Site and Oversight and get our powers back so we can even be strong in our run. And I want to get a report. I want to know how you're doing things for updating me. If you lost 50,000 of remedy claims, and however we can further support you and Black Girls Run, we're here for you, the Black Girls Run, and all your viewers, okay? The First Family is here, and thank you so much for having us and having me today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and have an amazing day, and we will be in touch.
Yes, thanks. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You too. Bye. Okay, everyone, that was Chef Ali Terrain, and he has been with us explaining to us that it's about a lifestyle. It's not about a fad. And you have to want to be the best that you can possibly be for yourself, not for anyone else, but for you. And doing it for you is the most important thing that you can do for your families, for your future, for your friends. So please join us on Saturday when we have Steve Duncan to the Marilyn Ocasio with Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success. So be well and stay healthy and stay out of the cold. God bless.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.